Good afternoon, and welcome to the BFF Banking Group Market Update Call. Our participants will be in a listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on a touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Please note, this event is being recorded. I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giuseppe Sica, Group CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the introduction, and thanks for everyone who joined the call. First of all, let me reiterate that we have received the measure by Bank of Italy that we have announced last Saturday, and we have announced promptly everything that was relevant to the market. The Bank of Italy is still working on this general on-site inspection. What is the measure? The measure is the appointment of two temporary commissioners, Raffaele Lener and Francesco Fioretto. Their role is to support the board of directors and the management on a temporary basis on the remediation process, which had already started and been initiated by the bank, as we announced, as I announced in February. And the remediation process covers also the operational and accounting framework. The actions that Ms. Rez already initiated by the bank have been more relevant, clearly, by the misallocations of pre-2023 events, which have led to the equity restatement of 2024. However, the measure is temporary, and BFF Board of Directors and the Board of Statutory Auditors retained full powers and decision-making facilities. I will be, and the Board will be cooperating fully with the commissioners for as long as they stay with us. Now, there have been different things said in the press release that we reported there, and the relevant one, I think the key measure is the appointment of the commissioner, but there have been other information in the press release that we have disclosed because they were communicated to us, not as final, by the Bank of Italy, and they have to do mainly with the classification of past due. Bank of Italy has identified up to, and I stress up to, 0.8 billion euros additional past due related to the potential inclusion of late payment interest within the so-called contagion exposure. These were not included in the previous inspection. And up to 0.5 billion euros arising from potentially more stringent interpretation of the mechanism related to the suspension of the counting days of past due. Again, BFF is conducting a full assessment of this amount and of these potentially more restrictive measures. Also, to clarify, the impacts that I have just mentioned are not necessarily cumulative. And even in the absence of any overlap between these two amount of past due and taking the maximum, we would still respect the CET1 regulatory requirements. To be clear, this is the SREP requirement. There will be probably questions, and I'll answer to the best of what I can today. There will be questions on what this means for the bank. As you know, we have received the information of this potential additional past due over the weekend, and we have already launched a full assessment of the impact and will update the market as soon as possible. Also with regards to the date of approval of the 2025 accounts, we remain fully focused on the business, on the de-risking, and on addressing the historical shortcomings. Today's announcement, as I've already said, largely relates to pre-2023 period. We continue to have three businesses, and we are leaders in all three of them. Two of the businesses are extremely profitable, perform to our expectations, and have virtually no RWA and no risk. And for the factoring, we said it in the press release very clearly, and we said it for a reason. The loss given default is extremely low, if not negligible. We will continue to focus on the success of the business in the current, also more complex environment, and to the benefit of all stakeholders. So that was the introductory speech. I would now open to questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. The first question is from Tommaso Nieddu, Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hello, and thank you a lot for taking my questions. I have just a couple. The first one is on capital. You have said in the press release that even in the adverse scenario, you remain compliant with the CET1 requirement, but you didn't explicitly say the same for the total capital ratio, which in my estimates could risk to be breached. Can you confirm whether under your current based estimates you also remain above the 13.2% total capital SREP requirement? And the second question is on the ancillary credit rights reviews. The press release refers to around 452 million euro of payments reviewed and a 3.4 million pre-tax negative impact statistically estimated from the 102 million sample. Why was the specific 452 million subset selected, and is there any risk the review perimeter broadens further? Thank you a lot.
On the total capital, we didn't write it for a reason, so you're but it's not the considerations are we received the communication on Saturday, and so we have to fine tune the numbers. Okay. So we are pretty sure about the CET1. We have to assess the numbers on total capital. If anything, it would be a few basis points. On the perimeter, that's been determined with our external advisor. I think we mentioned the name of the advisor in the press release. So I don't see the risk that it expands further. The impact of 3.4 million is by examining already effectively 25% of the portfolio on a statistical basis, and the impact is 2 million post-tax, more or less. So for us, it will not even be material. We have disclosed it to the market. You will appreciate it in the spirit of the maximum transparency that we have wanted to give.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
The next question is from Giovanni Razzoli, Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning to everybody. Thank you for taking my questions. The first one is on the potential increase in the stock of past due that we have already discussed yesterday, so the 0.8 billion and the 0.5 billion. I was wondering, I mean, this is potentially a temporary impact, so I'm wondering whether in the context of the securitization that you have already announced, you are analyzing on the, let's say, old stock of contagion exposure of 269 million euros, you could, in theory, extend this transaction to a broader scope of past due for the, you know, the preliminary indication of Bank of Italy, so that that could be, let's say, a way out to free up more capital. Is this something that is, in theory, a possibility? And the second question, I already asked Giuseppe this yesterday, but I would like you to see if you have additional thoughts on it. My question relates on the potential impact on the accounting framework that the Bank of Italy is, you know, investigating, if I'm not mistaken. It's extremely premature to take any conclusions, but can we assume, can we think, can we anticipate a possible revision of the LPI accrual? Is this something that could have, impacted by this analysis of the accounting framework? Thank you.
Thank you, Giovanni. First of all, thank you for saying that the impact of the 0.8 and 0.4 could be temporary, because the reality is that if certain objections of on the classification are discussed and agreed upon, then they are discussed and agreed upon. Okay. So, as we said, this is the maximum potential, I stress the word potential, impact, and we need to assess. Okay. But if we change the criteria, then we change the criteria. As you say, there are measures that we can take. So for sure, we could try and put LPI. We're putting part of the LPI in the securitization we're planning to. We could put more, for sure. As always, I can't discuss financial impacts that I don't know. And I've discussed many times with you the capital creation, which could be underlying a good securitization. I don't have the impact, even high level in this case. So it is possible. Clearly, there is a question of what you want to do with the LPI. I have not discussed the change in accounting of the LPI, and has not been raised to me. Frankly, if the points on the past due are confirmed, and I don't know, then there is a question of whether we do want to change that. Because if it's past due and it has to go in calendar, then probably I'd not necessarily want to do it. But we have to assess the impacts. I don't have the numbers yet, but it's not a request that I have received.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ebrahim Said, JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for organizing the call. Just to understand, you said that the review is ongoing, and can we think of the April 30th deadline for your restated accounts to be sort of a deadline for the completion of this review, or when can we have some more clarity on the scope of the review and any subsequent adjustments? And is that the timeline we should attach to seeing some clarity on the final numbers, including your CET1 and total capital and so forth?
Thank you for the question. Well, I'd say yes, that I don't want to go out with an annual report where there are still relevant factors of uncertainty. So that is the goal for sure. Yeah. Thank you, Aaron.
The next question is from Vincenzo Mangiaracina, Athora Italy. Please go ahead. Mr. Mangiaracina, your line is open. Maybe you are on mute.
Yeah. You can't hear?
Yes,
Hello?
Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. The question is very simple. You are starting to lose the access to the credit market because you're on the credit, your first, let's say, maturity date, your credit is trading, let's say, above 7%. You're losing, let's say, 15% on AT1. So the question is, could you exclude the needs of a capital raise? Thank you.
I don't agree with the assessment that we are losing access to the credit market. The AT1 is callable, and we are all rational people. And the senior are also callable, but are not expiring. You are a fine reader of our numbers, obviously, and you know, because you have it in the slides, that if we were to be under pressure, we collected in 2025 half of our past due. That's an easy solution. So we have many ways to create capital. We have to assess the full impacts of the letter that we have received.
Thank you.
The next question is from Sharada Patel, Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, I have two questions. So I just wanted to understand, firstly, the scope for any further equity restatements, i.e., was that 2024 restatement the result of a fully exhaustive investigation alongside EY, or could there be more to come? And then my second question would be, obviously, in your kind of February press release, you said you're expecting $70 million of provisions for the negative court rulings, but now in the latest press release pointing to the fact that this could be updated. Has there been any change in this assessment, and why? Thank you.
So the equity restatement, listen, we were, as you know, to approve the accounts today, and the equity restatement was the equity restatement before we received the communication from Bank of Italy. We have highlighted this $3.4 million pre-tax. This also relates to things happened before 2024. And so we were not planning to include this $2 million because it's not material for us. I don't know since we delayed by 1 month the approval of the annual report, we want to include this amount in the equity restatement. On the negative sentences, I don't have indication they are not sufficient. Again, we have 1 month to discuss with the regulator, because what we wrote here is in the discussion with the regulator. The policy was approved 1 month, 2 months ago. We have started to receive negative sentences that we expected in 2026, which were in line with what we had budgeted. So we have no indication, but we try to be conservative in what we write, also based on what we receive.
The next question is from Simonetta Chiriotti, Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. A couple of questions from me. The first is if you expect to pay the AT1 coupon. And the second question, in the past, growth in past due has been offset with changes in the accrual assumptions. Do you still see the possibility of implementing a measure of this kind at this point. And third, on the securitization, can you comment on the feasibility of the securitization if things have changed after the last communication? Thank you.
Thank you, Simonetta. On the 81, I think the level at which the coupon is not payable is much lower than the threat by memory. So, and so based on what I know now, no. On the securitization, we received this communication on Saturday. We have to understand what really will go to increase the past due, given that these are potential impacts, and then we may have to review the perimeter that, frankly, we were already very close to finalizing. So, but we have to assess the impact. So that, maybe the second question is on the past due, if you could repeat it.
Yes, basically, in the past, capital has been generated by changing the assumption. Yeah.
No, I don't see room to increase the LPI accrual rate. As I said, we have other venues if we want to create capital that we have to assess as we are analyzing the impacts, and frankly, as we're finalizing the impacts on what we have received.
And it's not yet possible to comment on these different ways to create capital.
But no, I think I hinted to it. In 2025, we collected around 50, if not 60%, of our past due exposure. And that per se would correspond by half to 180, 190 million of capital. That's page 14 of the full year results presentation. Clearly, these are extreme measures, and I have the responsibility to assess the impacts on these for all the stakeholders. So, these are extreme measures which are there, which we can undertake if we want.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Maggio, Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hello, I just one clarification coming back to something you answered before. So you clearly written that the bank continues to comply with the Common Equity Tier 1 regulatory requirement, but it sounded from your previous answers that you do not want to fully or you do not have full visibility to comment on whether you still comply with your total capital requirement. Did I understand that correctly? And if so, why is that the case? Shouldn't it be pretty simple to comment also on that? And the second question on the 800 million LPI and the 500 million additional exposure, what was approximately the risk weight on those two, and where should we expect the risk weight to go for those two portfolio? Thank you.
No, thank you for the questions. On total capital, I tried to answer, which is a few basis points different, and really depends on the fine details, and I don't want to give misleading numbers to the market. So that's the only reason, and it's a few basis points taking the worst case scenario where we take the full 800, the full 500, and there is no overlap. So this is about the total capital.
Okay.
About the risk weight, you know that past due are risk weighted at 150. Our average risk weight is already extremely high at the moment. Let me remind you that we have half of our, or 40% of our assets invested in BTP, which are risk-weighted at 0%, and we have 6 billion loan book, which are risk-weighted, on which we have 4.7 billion of risk-weighted assets. So it's quite punitive already. So that's my answer to you.
So shall it be maybe from 30 to 60% risk weight, 250?
No, the risk weight is one of the, on the past due is always, has always been 150%. Okay. The differential compared to the status quo for me is difficult to give, as we have reported the numbers that we have received with the net underlying portfolio.
And on the total
capital, I can't give you a number, okay?
Okay. On the total capital, when you are referring to few basis points of difference, on what exactly? I'm not sure I follow you there.
On the total capital, yeah. It is really a fine
versus the requirement.
Yes, versus the requirement. Yes. Yeah.
So basically, you're a few basis points above the requirement on total capital.
Above or on the total, above or below, that's why we didn't disclose the total capital, or we specified the common equity tier one in the press release.
Okay.
But as I said, we have actions that we can take with regards to capital. Okay. We just have to manage the loan book generally.
Thank you.
The next question is from Michael Niedzielski, Rose Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. A couple of questions for me. First of all, I'm not sure I understand when you say that, you know, the two loan books, 0.8 billion and 0.5 billion, are not necessarily cumulative. Meaning that you do not know whether there is any overlap in these two, and if you do not know, I don't quite understand why, because you know where these books are coming from. So why can't you give us a more precise answer on the potential overlap between the 0.8 and the 0.5? The second question
I can answer this one. The numbers we have in the press release regarding these two measures come from the letter that we as a board have received from Bank of Italy. So the details of the single loan, on which there can be challenges, we need to be addressed. Of course, we communicated immediately, as I think is our duty to do, to the market. We have not had the chance, and it's Monday, to go loan by loan. So if there is no overlap, the impact is 1.3. If there is full overlap, is 0.8. And these are potential impacts that the board will need to assess. That's the maximum I can tell you at the moment.
Okay. And second question is, you know, it has been touched before, but I just want to have perhaps some more color, is on the potential increase in, you know, risk-weighted assets. I just trying to quantify this as much as possible because, you know, when I do the math, I mean, it looks to me that, you know, you were at 14% CET1 ratio. You know, now we have this potential additional 1.3 at worst, but of course, you know, the impact in terms of RWA is not going to be 1.3. It's going to be a fraction of that. Even if I make fairly aggressive assumptions on the risk weight that you put on those additional loans, you know, I still remain comfortably above 10% CET1 ratio, so above your 9.7% threshold. So why not give just a more precise number, whether it's 11, 12, or 13% minimum, as opposed to say that you're just going to be, stay above the 9.7% threshold?
I don't know what RWA assumption you are taking. We are taking the worst, which is 150%, which is the level of past due. That's the level that we are taking. Yes, like I said, we are comfortably above. I have tried, and I am in a difficult spot at the moment, because I have always said to you, to the equity analyst, that I wanted to be more conservative, and I am on a call where many of the things that I've said over the last 2 months have proven partially wrong or not conservative. That doesn't change my approach. I still want to be conservative. So we write what, based on information we have, we believe is true. So, again, we received the information on Saturday. We have to do the full impact, which would require some days.
Yeah. Okay, I understand. And my last question is, can you just clarify a question that has been asked previously, but I'm not sure I fully understood the answer, is, you know, on a potential capital raise, rights issue, I mean, are you willing to completely exclude that as an option? You know, obviously, you know, with the share price being down 82% year to date, your equity value is not worth much today, you know, and that would be catastrophic for existing shareholders if there were to be a capital raise at this stage of the story. So can you just confirm that, you know, this is not an option that you're considering, that you're comfortable and have other options to, you know, come out of this without diluting permanently the existing shareholders?
I have much easier options. That's what I said. And also said that we have to assess the impact of what we have received. We have to understand what are the implications for the various businesses of what we have received. Okay. But I certainly have much, much easier options. The catastrophe, unfortunately, in a way, given what the share price is, has probably already played out to almost the full extent. But I take the point. This is what I can tell you. I have easier options, and I have the duty to study these options. Okay. So if a business is 100, all of a business is risk weighted at 150%, maybe the easier option is to do a rolling securitization, or to find a partner that buys the loan book, or other things. These are all actions that we need to study, that we were studying regardless of the letter that we have received.
Mm. And, you know, last time we spoke, you know, I asked you about your shareholding, and, you know, you became CEO. You hadn't been given, you know, shares in the company. Obviously, you know, with this happening, this is a little bit worrying, because, you know, if you don't own shares today, I mean, you're less sensitive to a potential drastic solution like a capital raise. Can you give us an update on, you know, what's the update on your share incentive in the company as of today?
I do have share incentives. But already as a CFO, I had options at much higher strike, so they are not relevant. I do have in my contract a share-based incentive. So I do not have shares, but I have the same alignment that shareholders do have.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Olivier Ducan, BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I failed to understand your answer about the potential payment on your AT1 coupon. Did you suggest that the coupon payment restrictions are kicking much lower than your assumed level of total capital based on your current assessment, or did I hear, could you clarify this, because you didn't provide a precise view on your total capital position? Thank you.
Yeah, it's a lower number, and is based not on consolidated accounts but on individual accounts on top. I think the prospectus is public, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
The next question is from Simon Turnbull, Tour Invest Partners AB. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. It was in relation to the statement on the CET1 ratio for the consolidated basis, because that's what I assume that the press release is referring to. Have you done any preliminary calcs on the CET1 ratio for the issuer position, if that's meeting the requirements as well, if in a worst case scenario?
I have to look at it. I don't think we did, but I'm not worried at all about the individual, because we always have the ability to upstream dividends from branches that we have across Europe that has paid for it.
Understood. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Giovanni Razzoli, Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking this question. It can be, or it can sound as a completely out-of-topic question, but in my view it isn't. And is it actually on the security services business? Can you remind us if you do have any duty contest for new contracts in pipeline, or do you have clients in the security services on which you have already signed a new contract which you still need to onboard in the next few months? And in case, if you can provide us the potential magnitude of these contracts in your security service business. And the second question on the security services business, can you remind the audience what are the areas of business where you historically have a leading position, and what is the market share if you have a data on those businesses? Thank you.
Thank you, Giovanni. I don't know if it's probably the last question, but we are getting to a close. On the security services business, I said it publicly that we thought the current situation was not helping in getting new clients. We had a good January, and I said it on the call of the full year results, that we had a good January, that we onboarded a couple of relevant clients. I was not expecting to onboard new clients in the first quarter or in the second quarter, given the overall situation. In fact, I think we do have something in the pipeline. Frankly, I didn't have time this morning to verify whether these are going to happen or not, but I was positively surprised by the team that they onboarded, that they were close to onboarding new clients. So that was, for me, a positive surprise. On the market share, I look at my team, but really the areas are two. We are the Italian payment service provider. So around 150 banks are intermediating payments with us. So the market share is effectively, I don't have a number, it's extremely high. You know, I think the top five banks in Italy don't use us to intermediate payments. And then on the depository bank, we are really focused on the pension fund business, where we do have a leading market position, probably 40-50% market share in that specific subsegment. But we're also extremely strong, and that's where probably the concept of market share is less relevant We are extremely strong in dealing with small funds, alternative funds, where probably larger players have less focus or less flexibility. So we have seen many of the clients and never received only compliments about the level of services that we provide on that part of the business.
Thank you. And a clarification on your first answer. So you added the two new clients in January, right?
We added some clients in January. Yeah. I don't remember if the numbers I gave the numbers.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
The next question is from Michele Baldelli, BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon to everybody. I have a question about this, let's say, new classification of past due. Is the Bank of Italy requiring you to apply those from 2024, or they will start the classification into past due just now, just to understand the calendar provisioning impact coming from this action? And the second point is still on this. Can we share what the Bank of Italy thinks about the late payment interest in terms of classification? Are they going to be, let's say, seen as assets that will always fall if they are in past due into the calendar provisioning rule, given that they are paid after many, many years, more than the 3-4 years of the regulation? Thank you.
Thank you, Michele. It's an hypothesis at the moment. If we were to reclassify the past due, this would happen the first available date. So as I said, I would try to have everything on the 2025 accounts. I would see no reason to do it for previous years, given that it would be a change driven by other considerations, and we have to see, as I said, what is the actual impact, what is the overlap. Let me remind you also that the inspection is not finished, so it's not, we did not want to be in a position where we announce a number and caught everybody by surprise. This is the maximum numbers if the bank and the board fully agrees with the findings or the preliminary findings. And we have not discussed the calendar. In 2024, the calendar was starting 2 years after the reclassification, as you know. So I cannot answer whether this, when this will start, I can give you what I can tell you what happened in 2024, but you know very well. That's the maximum I can tell you at the moment. But really, we have not discussed this with the regulator.
Thank you.
I think that was probably it for today. Thank you again for spending time with us, and we look forward to reconnecting in the future. Thank you.